Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. My name is Rabbi Mati Novick. In this series, we'll be learning a perek each day from the Rambam's great work, the Mishneh Torah. We'll get to the first perek next week, and this week we'll devote a few shiurim to reading the introduction to the Mishneh Torah in order to understand what this work is and what makes it incredibly special and very worthwhile to study. Let's start with a few words about the Rambam himself. Rav Moshe ben Maimon was born in Cordoba, Spain, most likely in the year 1138, though it may have been a couple of years earlier. Cordoba was a major city in Andalusia, as Muslim Spain was called, where Jews had a thriving community, and the Rambam came from a family of respected rabbinic lineage. He learned Torah from his father, Maimon, a respected dayan in the community, who himself learned from the great Rav Yosef ibn Migash, or the Rimigash, a brilliant scholar and thinker, only a few of whose works survive today. The Rimigash himself was a student of Rav Yitzchak Alfasi, the Rif, the great Moroccan posek whose summaries of the Gemara and halachic conclusions can be found in the back of standard printed editions of the Gemara today. The Rambam saw himself firmly in the tradition of the Rif and the Rimigash, and relies extensively in his Torah writings, especially in the Mishneh Torah, on the rulings of both of these earlier Gedolim. When the Rambam was only about 10 years old, the golden age for Jews in Cordoba came to an abrupt end when Andalusia was invaded by the Almohads, a Muslim group ruling much of North Africa, who refused to allow Jews to practice their religion. Jews in Andalusia were given a choice between conversion, exile, or death, and the Rambam's family fled. After several years of wandering in other parts of Spain, they settled in the city of Fez in Morocco. Even though Morocco was also under Almohad rule, it was much easier to live secretly as a Jew in the bustling metropolis of Fez than in newly conquered Andalusia. One of the earliest writings we have of the Rambam is his Igeret HaShmad, in which he encourages people facing the choice between conversion to Islam or death to outwardly accept conversion, because Islam is not an idolatrous religion, but rather monotheistic, and to keep mitzvot in private until the first opportunity arises to leave and settle elsewhere. During the family's time in Fez, aside from learning Torah from his father, as we said, the Rambam studied philosophy and science in depth, as well as medicine, both from classical written sources and from contemporary scholars and doctors. The family eventually left Fez and lived briefly in Eretz Yisrael, where they settled in the city of Akko, then under the rule of the Crusader armies. The Rambam's father, Maimon, died shortly after they arrived, and the rest of the family was forced to leave after only a few months, due both to financial difficulties and to religious persecution at the hands of the Christian crusaders. The Rambam left the land of Israel with a heavy heart, and the family settled in Egypt, in the city of Fustat, where there was a strong and thriving Jewish community. The Rambam would remain in Egypt for the rest of his life. As a young adult, the Rambam engaged mostly in learning, with medicine only a side pursuit, and he, along with the rest of his family, was supported by his younger brother, David, a wealthy merchant who dealt in precious stones. A formative and tragic experience in the Rambam's life was the death of his brother David when his ship sank at sea with him and all of his riches aboard. The Rambam was not only left without a source of income, but he was now responsible to provide for his brother's widow and young child. The Rambam was very close to David, and he describes in one of his writings how he was physically debilitated for a year or more after this tragedy. It was due to this drastic change in fortune that the Rambam took up medicine as a serious profession. He gained expertise and renown, and eventually became a doctor in the court of the Sultan. In addition to all of his Torah writings, we have many of the Rambam's medical writings as well. We know many more details about the Rambam's life, both from extensive letters that he wrote during his life and from outside sources, but let's move now to discuss his Torah writings. The Rambam wrote three major works. The first is his commentary on the Mishnah, the Perush HaMishnayot, which he wrote when he was in his 20s, and which established the Rambam as a Talmud Chacham of the first rank, despite his young age. The second of the Rambam's works is the Mishneh Torah, which he completed by age 40 and which we'll delve into in a moment. The third, completed toward the end of his life, was the Mor Nevuchim, the Guide for the Perplexed, a work of religious philosophy which both addresses major theological questions about the nature of God and suggests reasons for many of the mitzvot in the Torah. The Perush HaMishnayot and the Mor Nevuchim were written in Judeo-Arabic, the vernacular in the Rambam's time and place. Almost everyone who learns them now uses one of several available translations. The Mishneh Torah, however, was written in Rabbinic Hebrew in order to make it accessible to a wider audience. The Rambam himself saw this work as his magnum opus, his major legacy to the world of Torah and to the Jewish people for generations to come. We can describe the Mishneh Torah in a few words as an encyclopedic summary of all of Torah Shebaal Peh. But to really understand what this work is and what makes it stand out, we need to learn the Rambam's introduction to it, where he writes exactly why he wrote it and what he hoped for it to be. We'll start that now and read through the most important parts of it, not all of it. If you are following along in the Koren Steinsaltz edition of the Mishneh Torah, the introduction is broken up into paragraphs numbered in Hebrew from Aleph to Mem Gimel, and I'll reference those numbers whenever we skip some parts. First, notice that the Rambam starts off the introduction with a pasuk from Tehillim, a practice he repeats for each of the 14 books of the Mishneh Torah. The pasuk here is, Az lo evosh b'habiti al kol mitzvotecha. I will not be ashamed as I gaze at all of your commandments. The key word here, and the reason the Rambam chose this pasuk, is the word kol, all. We'll understand why when we get to the end of this part of the introduction in our next shiur. Let's begin reading from paragraph Aleph. Kol ha-mitzvot shenitnu lo l'moshe b'sinai, b'feirushan nitnu, shnemar v'etna lecha et luchot ha-even, v'ha-torah v'ha-mitzvah. Torah zo torah shebichtav, u-mitzvah ze perusha. V'tzivanu la'asot ha-torah al-pi ha-mitzvah. U-mitzvah zo hi ha-nikret torah shebaal peh. Kol ha-torah k'tava Moshe Rabbeinu kodam shiamut b'chtav yado, v'natan sefer l'chol shevet v'shevet. V'sefer achad netanahu ba'aron la'ed. Shnemar, lakoach et sefer ha-torah hazot, v'samtem oto mitzad aron brit ha-shem elokeichem, v'hasham b'cha le'ed. V'ha-mitzvah, shi-perush ha-torah, lo k'tava, ela tziva ba la-zekenim, v'li-yoshua, v'li-shar kol Yisrael. Shnemar, et kol ha-davar asher anochi metzeva etchem, oto tishmeru la-asot, lo tosef alav, v'lo tigra mimenu. U'mipnei ze, nikreit torah shebaal peh. The Rambam begins with a history of the transmission of Torah. Moshe received at Har Sinai both the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaal Peh, which explains how we are to fulfill that which is written in the Torah Shebichtav. The first was written in several copies, but the second, the Torah Shebaal Peh, was not written at all. It was meant to be a purely oral tradition, as the name implies, and Moshe taught it to the 70 Zekanim he chose to help lead Bnei Israel. You can find the story of their selection in Parshat Balotcha, Perek Yud Aleph of Sefer Bamidbar. Af al pi shelo nichteva Torah shebaal peh, limda Moshe Rabbeinu kula beveitino l'shivim zekenim, ve'elazar u'pinchas v'yoshua shloshtam kiblu mimoshe, v'liyoshua shu talmido shel Moshe Rabbeinu masar Torah shebaal peh v'tzivahu aleha, v'chein Yehoshua kol yimei chayav limed al peh. There is a difference between just teaching the Torah Shebaal Peh, which can be done to an arbitrarily large number of students, and transmitting it in its entirety to a select student who then bears the responsibility to convey it in the same form to the next generation. A reliable chain of transmission is critical in order for an oral tradition to be maintained accurately, and the Rambam begins here to list everyone in the chain linking the Torah Shebaal Peh back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe transmitted the Torah to his student Yehoshua, as well as to Aaron's son Elazar and his son Pinchas. In the next several paragraphs, the Rambam continues to list everyone in this chain of transmission over a period of close to 1,500 years, through the entire period of Tanakh, to the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the group of 120 Nevi'im and Chachamim, who were the spiritual leaders of Klal Yisrael during much of the period of Bayit Sheni, and finally to the Tanaim, ending with Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rebbe, as he is commonly called, and the Rambam refers to him also as Rabbeinu HaKadosh, broke with tradition by writing down the Torah Shebaal Peh in the text that we call the Mishnah. The Rambam describes what a major departure this was and why Rebbe did it, starting in paragraph Yud Aleph. Rabbeinu HaKadosh chiber ha-Mishnah. Umimot Moshe v'ad Rabbeinu HaKadosh lo chibru chibur shemelamdin oto barabim ba-Torah Shebaal Peh. Ela b'chol dor v'dor, rosh beit din o navi shiye b'oto ador, kotev la'atzmo zikaron b'shmuot sheshama mirabotav, v'hu melamed al peh barabim. V'chein kol echad v'echad kotev la'atzmo kefi kocho, mi bi'ur ha-torah u'mihilchoteha kamo sheshama. ומדברים שנתחדשו בכל דור ודור בדינים שלא למדו מפי השמוע, אלא במידה משלוש עשרה מידות, והסכימו עליהן בית דין הגדול. וכן היה דבר תמיד עד רבנו הקדוש. Until Rebbe, a student learning Torah Shebaal Peh would write notes for private use in order to remember what he learned and teach it to others. These notes consisted of two parts, as the Rambam understands Torah Shebaal Peh in general to consist of two parts, laws originating in the oral tradition per se, going all the way back to Moshe, and laws derived from the text of the Torah using midrashic tools like Kal Vachomer, Gzeira Shava, or Klal Upratu Klal, terms which may be familiar from the text of Rabbi Shmuel Omer that we say each morning. In this second form of Torah Shebaal Peh, there may be different opinions, and for the Rambam, this is the source of machloket in general. The Beit Din HaGadol, the central authority of 71 senior dayanim, would determine in each generation which of these derived laws to accept as halacha. So a Talmud taking notes would write down direct oral traditions he heard from his Rav, as well as the conclusions of the Beit Din HaGadol regarding the second form of Torah Shebaal Peh, and he would use these notes later in life to teach his own students. There was no standard text used on a mass scale to teach Torah Shebaal Peh to a large audience. What did Rebbe do? V'hu kibeit kol ha-shmu'ot v'chol ha-dinin v'chol ha-beurin v'ha-perushin sh'sham'u me-Moshe Rabbeinu v'shalamdu beitin shal kol dor v'dor v'chol ha-Torah kula v'chiber me-ha-kol sefer ha-mishna v'shinino barabim v'nigla l'chol Yisrael u'chtavuhu kulam v'ribetso v'chol makom k'dei sh'lo tishtakach Torah Shebaal Peh mi-Yisrael. Rebbe collected all the traditions, laws, and explanations which comprised Torah Shebaal Peh, of both types we described, and wrote these down in the text known to us as the Mishnah. This was divided into six Siddarim, and each Seder into many Masechtot, or tractates. Rebbe taught from this text and allowed it to be reproduced and spread throughout the Torah world to be used as a standard teaching material, in order, the Rambam says, so that Torah not be forgotten. Why was this an outcome Rebbe feared? The Rambam goes on to explain. V'lama asa Rabbeinu HaKadosh kach, v'lo hiniach hadavar kamot shahaya, l'fi shera'a shahatalmidim mitma'atim v'holchim, v'hatzarot mitchadshot uva'ot, u'mamlechet harish'a poshetet ba'olam u'mitgaberet, v'Yisrael mitgalgalim v'holchim lakzavot, chiber chibur echad, liot biyad kulam, kidei shi'ilmeduhu bimhera v'lo yishachach. V'yashav kol yamav hu uveitino v'limeid ha-mishnah barabim. The diaspora was continuing to spread geographically due to religious persecutions, increasing the distance between Jewish communities, and at the same time, the number of students with the ability and resources to learn and transmit Torah Shebaal Peh was diminishing. In these circumstances, there was a genuine fear that if Torah Shebaal Peh were not written into a standardized text that could be studied anywhere and by anyone, it would eventually be forgotten. This necessary revolution in the transmission of Torah Shebaal Peh did not end with the composition of the Mishnah, and the Rambam goes on in paragraph Yud Zayin to list other works written in the generations following Rebbe. Rav chiber sifra v'sifrei leva'er ulhodia ikarei ha-mishnah. Rabbi Chia chibera tosefta, levaer inyanei ha-mishnah. V'chein Rabbi Hoshaya uben Kapara chibru breitot levaer divrei ha-mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan chibera Talmud ha-Yushalmi be'eretz Yisrael achar churban ha-bayit bekarov mishlosh me'ot shana. The works written by Rebbe's students and by their students over the coming decades were the Medrashei Halacha, including the Sifra and the Sifri written by Rav on the Svarim of Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Devarim. The Rambam adds later, the Mechilta was written by Rabbi Yishmael on Sefer Shmot, the Tosefta written by Rabbi Chia, various Breitot written by Rabbi Hoshaya and Bar Kapara, which were never collected into a single written work, and eventually the Talmud Yerushalmi was written in Eretz Yisrael by the youngest student of Rebbe, Rav Yochanan, in the middle of the 4th century of the Common Era. But by this time, the major centers of learning had shifted from the land of Israel to Babylonia, Babel, several hundred miles to the east in modern-day Iraq. And about 150 years following the completion of the Talmud Yerushalmi, a much longer and more detailed work, the Talmud Bavli, was compiled by Ravina and Rav Ashi. Starting in paragraph Chaf Gimel, the Rambam explains the significance of these two Talmuds. V'inyan shnei ha-Talmudim hu perush divrei ha-Mishnah, Uveur amukoteha, ודברים שנתחדשו בכל בית דין ובית דין ממות רבינו הקדוש ועד חיבור התלמוד. ומשני התלמודים ומן התוספתא ומספרה ומספרי ומן התוספתות, מכולם יתפאר האסור והמותר, והטמא והטהור, והחיה והפטור, והכשר והפסול, כמו שהתיקו איש מפי איש מפי משה רבינו. גם יפאר מהם דברים שגזרו חכמים ונביאים שבכל דור ודור לעשות סייג לתורה, כמו ששמעו ממשה בפירוש, ושמרתם את משמרתי, שאמר, עשו משמרת למשמרתי. וכן יפאר מהם המנהגות והתקנות שהתקינו או שנהגו בכל דור ודור כמו שראו בית דין של אותו הדור, לפי שאסור לסור מהם, שנאמר, לא תסור מכל הדבר אשר יגידו לך ימין ושמאל. וכן משפטים ודינים פלאים, שלא קיבלו אותן ממשה, ודנו בהן בית דין הגדול של אותו הדור במידות שהתורה נדרשת בהן, ופסקו אותן הזקנים וגמרו שהדין כך הוא, הכל חיבר רב אשי בתלמוד ממות משה ועד ימיו. Both the Talmud Yerushalmi and the Talmud Bavli, written as discussions based on Mishnayot in every tractate, aim to collect all the relevant arguments, explanations, and conclusions regarding the dinim in the Mishnah and other related halachot. From these two magisterial works, along with all the compositions we mentioned from the period of the Tanaim, the Mishnah, Midrashim, Tosefta, and Braitot, emerges the corpus of laws which we call halacha. These include the parts of Torah Sheba'al Peh we discussed before, direct oral tradition, and laws derived from Psukim through Midrashic tools which were then accepted as binding by the Beit Din HaGadol. But halacha also includes laws of rabbinic origin, dinim derabanan, which were established either to safeguard Torah laws, or as separate enactments or customs, takanot or minhagim, which the Beit Din HaGadol of each generation has the right to perpetuate for future generations. The Rambam insists here that we are obligated from the Torah to keep even rabbinic laws, based on the pasuk of lo tasur min hadavar asher yagidu lecha yamin u'smol. The institution of the Beit Din HaGadol ceased to exist shortly before the completion of the Talmud Bavli, and so the two Talmuds mark the end of the development of Torah Sheba'al Peh as a work which is binding on all Jews everywhere. In the next few paragraphs, the Rambam describes the rise of local customs and practices across the ever-expanding Jewish diaspora based on how the Beit Din in each location understood the conclusions of the Talmud or chose to enact its own takanot and minhagim for the local population. A conclusion or a takana of some Beit Din in one city is binding on that city, but cannot be forced upon the residents of some other location. But the Talmud is binding on everyone. No local Beit Din is allowed to enact anything contradicting a conclusion of the Talmud. If one does, then this act of Beit Din is illegitimate and is considered null and void. So in theory, the Talmud should have been the go-to source of Jewish law for generations to come. But as years passed, the Talmud became inaccessible to the vast majority of people due to a loss of familiarity with Aramaic, the language of both Talmuds, and the difficulty of deciphering the terse and often cryptic Talmudic text. The scholars and sages who maintained a familiarity with the material and an ability to teach it were called Gaonim, as the Rambam describes in paragraph Lamed Daled. Kol ha-chachamim sh'amdu achar chibur ha-talmud uvanu bo v'yatza lahem shem v'chochmatam heim ha-nikraim Gaonim. V'chol elu ha-Gaonim sh'amdu be'eretz Yisrael uve'eretz Shinar ubi-Sfarad ube-Tzarfat limdu derech ha-talmud v'hotziu la'or ta'alumotav uve'aru inyanav. לפי שדרך עמוקה דרכו עד למאוד, ועוד שהוא בלשון ארמי, מעורב עם לשונות אחרות, לפי שאותה לשון הייתה ברורה לכל בשינר בעת שחובר התלמוד, אבל בשאר מקומות, וכן בשינר בימי הגאונים, אין אדם מכיר אותה לשון עד שמלמדים אותו. ושאלות רבות שואלים אנשי כל עיר ועיר לכל גאון שיהיה בימיהם, לפרש להם דברים קשים שבתלמוד, והם משיבים להם כפי חוכמתם, ואותן השואלים מקבצים התשובות, ועושים מהן ספרים להבין מהם. Those who would ask questions of the Gaonim and receive answers would compile those answers into new books of Tshuvot HaGaonim, Gaonic Responsa. גם חיברו הגאונים שבכל דור ודור, חיבורים לבאר התלמוד, מהם מי שפירש הלכות יחידות, ומהם מי שפירש פרקים יחידים שנתקשו בימיו, ומהם מי שפירש מסכתות וסתרים. ועוד חיברו הלכות פסוקות בעניין האסור והמותר, והחיה והפטור בדברים שהשעה צריכה להן, כדי שיהיו קרובים למדע מי שאינו יכול לרד לעומקו של תלמוד. וזוהי מלאכת השם שעשו בה כל גאוני ישראל מיום שחובר התלמוד ועד זמן זה, שהוא שנה שמינית אחר 100,000 לחורבן. The Gaonim themselves wrote works explaining the Talmud for the benefit of those who couldn't access the original text because of language difficulties, and also works summarizing areas of halacha so that people will not need to study the original Talmudic text. And this, the Rambam concludes paragraph Lamed Zayin, brings us to the present day, that is his present day, which he identifies as 1,108 years after Churban Bayit Sheni, that is the year 1178, when the Rambam is 40 years old. This, then, is the Rambam's summary of the development of Torah Shebaal Peh from when it was given to Moshe until his own day. Now the Rambam finally gets to his motivation for writing the Mishneh Torah. And when we pick up from here in our next shiur, we'll understand why it was necessary for the Rambam to give us this detailed background about what preceded him.